Isaiah chapter 56, again, he's talking about preachers who will not warn people. They will not preach what needs to be preached. They want to preach a positive-only message. They want to preach what people like. Look at Isaiah 56, verse 10. He says, his watchmen. Of course, the watchman is a metaphor that he constantly uses in the book of Ezekiel and elsewhere about a preacher, about a prophet, someone who is watching and warning of the danger. Think about what a watchman is. He sits on the wall, he stays up all night long, and he sees the enemy coming in distance, he sounds a trumpet, he warns of impending danger. God likens his prophets unto a watchman. He likens them here unto a watchman and also unto a watchdog. He says in Isaiah 56:10, his watchmen are blind. Can you imagine a blind watchman? When your whole job is to watch for somebody, and you're blind? That's not a good career for you, okay? You need to pick a new job. It reminds me of I was in Oregon. And you know in Oregon you can't pump your own gas? Who knows what I'm talking about? Yeah. In Oregon and New Jersey, those are the two states where it's illegal to pump your own gas. So they have a guy there, or a girl, to pump the gas for you. So Scott and I pull into a gas station in Oregon, and this girl pumps our gas, and you know, we pull out 5 minutes later, the check engine light comes off. And I say to Scott, she didn't put the gas cap on right. Because at first we're like, oh man, what's wrong with the engine? Do we need to pull over? Do we need to do something? And I said, no, you know what? She didn't put the gas cap on. Now, it's pretty sad when that's your whole job. All you do all day is just undo the whatever you call it. What's it called? Undo the gas cap, pump the gas, you know, hand the receipt, close it up, think you can get it right, you know. I was thinking to myself, you know, we need to get back in California where I can pump my own gas, put the lid on right. But, you know, if you're a watchman and you're blind, you're in the wrong line of work. He's saying his watchmen are blind. And if you're a preacher who's spiritually blind, you need to get another job. You know, if you can't see the bad things coming, if you can't see negative consequences to people's actions, then you're in the wrong line of work. But he says here that these watchmen are blind. They're all ignorant. And that's even worse. An ignorant preacher. And by the way, you young men who want to preach someday, you better learn and learn and learn and study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Because if you don't know the Bible, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. You're going to get up and call yourself a preacher. Know the Bible. Know what you're talking about. We have too many preachers who don't know what they're talking about. You need to read and read and read. Before you learn how to preach, the most important thing is to know what to preach. That's more important. Because you can be dynamic and swing from the chandeliers, but you better know that what you're saying is right. And so you got to learn the Bible. You don't want to be blind and you don't want to be ignorant. And then he says this, they're all dumb dogs. Dumb meaning unable to speak. He says they're all dumb dogs. They cannot bark. Sleeping. They're lazy, he says. Lying down, loving to slumber. Yea, they're greedy dogs. It's all about money. It's all about the paycheck, which can never have enough. And they are shepherds. Of course, the word pastor means shepherd. That's what it means. It comes from the same root word as the word pasture. And they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, everyone for his gain from his quarter. And here's what they'll tell you. Come, ye, say they, I'll fetch wine. And we will fill ourselves with strong drink. And tomorrow shall be as this day and much more abundant. This is what they'll tell you. Everything's fine. Let's eat, drink, and be merry, and tomorrow everything's going to be fine. Have a beer with me after the service. Everything's going to be fine. Lighten up a little. You know, all this doom and gloom, you know, like God's wrath and God's judgment. Man, that turns people off. Especially the young people, they don't like it. You know, they like something a little more uplifting, a little more positive, okay? And so let's have a beer with them. Let's reach them where they're at, okay? Let's sit down with them and just kind of rap a little bit. You know, let's just talk, you know. And in fact, we're going to get rid of the pulpit and replace it with a bar stool. And I'm going to sit up on a bar stool and just kind of... In fact, we need two pastors, okay? You get one pastor, you know. So we get like two of us up here, okay? And maybe I'm on a bar stool here, Brother Dave's on a bar stool. Because then we can kind of format it. We can kind of format it out like a radio talk show. You know, there's like two hosts and they kind of... And I'll just be kind of like, so Dave, what do you think this passage means, Brother Dave? And he'll be like, well, you know, a lot of people, a lot of good scholars say that if you go back to the Greek, you know, and we can just kind of analyze it and go back and forth with it and everything like that. But you see, the dumb dog Baptist church, okay, the pastor's asleep at the wheel. He's not warning. He loves money. He's ignorant. And he wants you to think that everything's going to be fine next year is going to be just like this year. And hey, it might even be better. You know what I mean? Like, tomorrow shall be as this day. And hey, why not? Much more abundant. All right? Why not? While I'm lying to you, I might as well just tell you it's going to be really good. But you see, we ought to be warning of sin. We ought to be standing up, you know, as preachers, as Christians, and warning. And sometimes it's a negative message that people don't want to hear. And that's why it's always spoken against. I mean, think about it. If all that we preach was sweetness and light, who would speak against it? I don't think that there's anybody in this world who's against loving your neighbor as yourself. Have you ever run into somebody who said, I don't agree with that? You know what I mean? We could go to the Mormons and the Catholics and the Muslims and the Buddhists. They'd all agree with that. Do you really think the Mormons don't agree with that? Love your neighbor as yourself is a good idea. Okay, do you think the Buddhists have a problem with that? You think the Hindus have a problem with that? Does the Navajo traditional religion have a problem? Probably sounds good. Love. Everybody likes that. But when you start preaching the rest of the Bible, you know, most people, when we go out soul winning, don't even really have a problem with the gospel message of just Jesus died for our sins, he rose again, he's the only way, you know. But then you start saying, well, he's the only way to heaven. You know, then they start having a problem. You say, well, if you don't believe, you go to hell. Now we're losing people. You know what I mean? Think about it. You know? In fact, all other religions are false. Because Jesus said, I am the door. And he said this. He said, I'm the good shepherd. All that came before me are thieves and robbers. But I'm the good shepherd. I'm the savior of the world. That's what he said. He said, everybody else who has claimed to be a savior or a messiah has been a liar. If he were today saying the same type of thing as what he was saying there 2,000 years, he'd basically be saying Buddha was a liar, you know. He'd be saying Joseph Smith was a liar. He'd tell you that Muhammad was a liar. And he shouldn't have been married to a 9-year-old girl, the pervert. He would tell you, he'd say he's a pervert and a pedophile and a polygamist. And anything else that starts with a P that's weird. You know, Joseph Smith was like that. Muhammad was like that. And they tell you the truth about it. And that's where you start making people mad. I mean, I used to preach in 2 nursing homes when we started this church on Sunday afternoon. And I preached there for about 6 months each. And I got thrown out of both of them after about 6 months. And it was for the same thing. And I preached a lot of radical sermons in there. But you know what got me thrown out? Just preaching that Jesus was the only way to heaven. Literally. I mean, out of all the radical stuff I preach, you know, I'm expecting them to say it was this, it was this, it was this. It's just, no, you can't preach that Jesus is the only way, you know, and that any other way is wrong. I said, it's too exclusive. You know, it's got to be an inclusive message. And I said, you know, I can't preach an inclusive message. It's just not true. Amen. You know, I got thrown out. I think I'm going to cry about it, you know, but that's life. And I just decided, and you know, it was really sad because the people in the nursing home, they loved it. Yeah. And the harder I preached, the more they liked it. They said, man, we love you. You know, they said Faithful Word Baptist Church is our church. You're our pastor. And they would come, they'd dress up and come, and they loved it. But the staff, what happened was, one of them, the wife of the manager, happened to be there on a Sunday, and, and he said, oh, you know, it's offending some people. And I'm thinking to myself, well, the Catholic Mass you guys offer probably offends some people too. It offends me. I think the priest needs to wear pants. It offends me that he doesn't wear pants. Dress like a man. Don't wear a skirt, okay? And, you know, I'm sure people are offended by the non-denominational service, even though their desire is to never offend. I'm offended by the NIV. I'm offended by a lot of things about it. But the point is that, you know, the truth is going to offend people. The truth causes division. Because when the truth is preached, some believe it said in Acts 28, and some believe not. But when nothing is preached, everybody just nods their head and smiles. and says, oh, great, even Jeremiah's saying amen to the phony liberal preacher. Nobody disagrees with him. Even Jeremiah says, this sounds good. And I've said it before. If you and I went to most liberal churches, if we visited one of these liberal churches, we'd probably agree with 99% of what's said. But there's just not much being said. Because it's just a lot of generic, general things, and it's not what they say, it's what they don't say that's the problem. That's the problem. The false prophet doesn't tell you the truth. He only tells you the positive stuff, which a lot of it's good stuff, but that's all he tells you.